It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The scourge of cruel online commenting now feels as ancient as locust swarms and raining frogs. But this week, we've been reminded of how offensive online commenting can be. A post on the Gawker Media-owned women's interest website Jezebel, written by the site's staff, detailed how anonymous online commenters using so-called burner accounts are repeatedly posting violent sexual images, sometimes in video form, on the website. Jezebel's editors said the public blog post was in part a response to the fact that their parent company has resisted finding a fix. Now Gawker has temporarily disabled image uploads. Aaron Ryan is an editor at Jezebel. Aaron, thanks for talking with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Gawker Media puts a lot of stock in responding to online commenters and sort of fostering that community. And a recent update to your publishing platform is that there are these so-called burner accounts, basically ways for people to use the commenting system anonymously. But this is where this problem arises from.
That's right. The burner accounts, in theory, allow people to write about what's happening. Let's say something was going on at their company that was newsworthy, but they couldn't go on the record or they couldn't be public.
Sure.
That was ideally a way for them to tip us off. But how it's manifested is people are just using the burner accounts to throw awful stuff at us.
How do you think that your particular case of image trolling, I guess, is different from other forms of this kind of thing on the web?
You can start reading a paragraph and be like, I could see where this is going. This is devolving into racism, and just leave. But once you've seen an image, you've seen the whole image. It takes a second, and there it is. And so I think it's much more harmful than just words.
It seems like there's a feeling that the internet is kind of unfriendly to female writers. Do you think that's true, and why?
I completely think that's true. I think people who want to make women feel bad for one reason or another have an anonymous forum with no consequences.
Uh-huh.
But secondly, you know, when companies fail to take steps to protect their female employees from being exposed to this sort of thing in the course of their jobs, that encourages people to continue to do this.
What, in your mind, is the solution to this problem?
Well, right now, Gawker Media has instituted a ban on image uploading in all of the comments, but they tell us that they're working on a longer-term solution.
Do you think that this entire exercise for Jezebel has been successful?
I think in the short term, it's actually had the opposite effect that we've intended, because in the short term, there was this huge deluge of really graphic and abusive images on all of the Gawker Media sites. But long term, I think it's good. You know, on a larger scale, I hope that if other women are working in conditions where they're being unfairly expected to deal with abuse, that they feel like they can say something and actually expect things to change.
Aaron Ryan is an editor at the website Jezebel. Aaron, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When startups launch, whether they're social media, fashion, biotech, one of the first things any entrepreneur has to master is the pitch. The who, what, where, when, and why of his or her company. Could be the quickie elevator version or the 100-slide PowerPoint version for a potential investor. So what goes in? Tracy Samuelson reports that crafting the pitch is more art than science.
Shanlin Ma is about to pitch her startup to just under 1,000 techies.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
She's founder of Zola, a wedding registry app, which she's pitching at the sold-out New York Tech Meetup.
This is probably the people with the highest standards when it comes to technology, design, and product development.
So her team has spent a couple weeks working on the pitch. They've stuck to the basic rules. Know your audience, have a clear goal in mind. In their case, to recruit engineers and developers. They also sought out advice from someone who'd presented here before, who said to focus on the app's features. Ma starts it off.
Zola is a wedding registry for modern couples.
Then the company's mobile developer, Charles Scalesi, jumps in, showing how to add items to a registry and how many.
The first problem we always hear from couples is, how much stuff do I need to add?
Good. He just articulated a problem.
Andrew Linderman watched a video of Zola's pitch for me. He's the founder of StorySource, a company that helps corporate clients better explain their work. His big advice is to use stories to illustrate why the company was created and what it does. He thinks Zola could have opened with an anecdote like,
so when I was getting married or when my brother was getting married, he did X, Y, and Z. and then ABC happened, and this was just not adequate.
Zola does use a story on its website, but Ma says she wanted to focus on some of the app's cool features.
We weren't so much trying to tell a story, but we did want to showcase some things that are hidden in the app, which we don't market explicitly.
Linderman says a pitch should focus on the relationship people have with a product. Don't get too bogged down in its bells and whistles, he says. Give the audience a sense of what the company stands for and its value. Counterintuitive as it may seem, he says sometimes the biggest mistake you can make in a pitch is to talk too much about the product. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
By the way, I'll be helping judge a startup contest called Get in the Ring. It's an international entrepreneurship competition hosted by the Kauffman Foundation. To learn more about the contest or sign up, check our Twitter feed at Marketplace Tech or head to Kauffman.org. And before we go, here's some good news about America's growing interest in bike share programs. Yes, yes, we can complain about the machines not taking our credit cards or the tourists who don't wear their helmets. But according to an analysis by Reuters, of 23 million rides, not one single bike share fatality has been reported in any U.S. city program since 2007. Not bad, us. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.